This is Parker Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker, and we have as our guest Professor Paul Conant, a anti-fluoride activist. And before we get into the next hour, there are a couple observations I want to make on concerning fluoride. It's been known in science that if you add a single fluorine atom, professor was giving a difference between fluorine and fluoride, but a fluorine atom to a drug molecule, you're going to boost that chemical potency, and this is being used in the process for Prozac and Cipro, which has many side effects. The antidepressant Prozac has a antidepressant chemistry that's a little different than most. But the anti-anthrax antibiotic Cipro has an effect that is similar to the central nervous system system that is with fluoride with hexafluoroacetic acid, and also some studies that have not been totally released. This has been recently declassified, but they have to do with the uranium hexafluoride. The diffusion process was used many years ago in the Manhattan Project, and involved in this is the another aspect of this, where I interviewed Janet Phelan on Parker Pathways a few months ago. She was an investigative journalist concerning how water is a weapon. And under the Critical Information Infrastructure Act, is under Homeland Security. That was passed in November of 2002. And it specifically provides a legal framework with its own court system for inhibiting reports concerning any water system. And there are also criminal penalties that we can levy against any government employee that releases information concerning what's called protected infrastructure. And, of course, this is a form of direct violation of the Patriot Act. And the specific wording of Section 214 of the Critical Infrastructure Information Act is that whoever, being an officer or employee of the United States or any department or agency thereof, knowingly publishes, divulges, discloses, or makes down any manner, to any extent authorized not by law, any critical infrastructure information shall be fined under the United States Code, Title 18, and imprisoned for not more than a year. And the Act also goes on to give, under executive order of the President of the United States, 11-7-4-7, which reads, the chairman of the Water Resources Council is designated and empowered to exercise without approval, ratification, or any other action of the president, the approval function for standards and procedures that are vested in the president by Section 103 of the Water Resources Planning Act. Now, there's a lot more to talk about this, because water as a weapon is a selective, what is called, under, according to Janet Phelan, selective killing of people by water. Under this act of the Critical Infrastructure Act, fluorine is now considered under that protection, and this was part of the executive order of the President of the United States in March to close down the EPA and the FDA libraries to employees and to people, certain people of the public. We're going to go into a little bit more of this in a few minutes after the break. And we're going to talk with Professor Paul Conant again with this other piece of information about the ethics of CDC.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
This is Parker Penfrey's Dr. Wynn Parker. It's August 19th, year 2007. This is a live show. And call in if you wish to call is 800-313-9443. And we have Professor Paul Conant, an anti-fluoride activist. And before the end of the last hour, Professor Conant was talking about the local community activity and medications and how this is being activated out. And, of course, the local community has always been our battleground to go right to the face of these people that are in these positions in the local community and make them responsible legally for their actions, for making decisions that affect millions of people. That's the basis of the constitutional amendment that we're trying. I'm trying to put forth nationally, and that we have a right to vote what goes in our food, water, and medical protocols, and the concept of developing the grand jury system to have a grand jury of science and technology over some of these decisions.
Yeah, I'd like to underline that. I mean, if you went, as you as a patient went to see your doctor, and your doctor handed you a glass of a liquid and said to you, drink this, it's going to do you good. And then you say to him, well, doctor, you know, what are its benefits, is there any downside to it? And he says, it's good for you. No, there's no side effects. Just drink it. I tell you. And you say, no, I don't want to drink that. I don't want to drink that. That doctor cannot force you to drink that water. However, we're allowing a whole community to do that to us. Right now, the Metropolitan Water District which is near Los Angeles and covers a great chunk of Southern California, is giving the green light to fluoridate the drinking water of 18 million people. Well,
those
doctors in that area, they couldn't force that fluoridated water on their individual patients, and yet this water authority, with no medical training at all, is able to do it to 18 million people. It's absolutely preposterous, that notion. And, of course, you can't point – you can point to perhaps one other time when we used the public water supply to deliver medication. It was a short experiment with iodine, but the end result was that people came down with overactive thyroid gland because of excess iodine, so they quickly stopped it. Other than that, there is no other – example of using the public water supply to deliver medication. Obviously, we add a lot of chemicals to the water supply, but all the other chemicals that we add are there to treat the water. With fluoride, you are treating people. You are using the water supply as a vehicle to deliver medication.
That's exactly right. When I went nationally with my chloramine causes collateral health damage, I put forth the fact that we are being asked to be human processing plants for taking the place of the chemistry that is supposed to be promulgated by the water districts in the terms of what water chemists are trying to put dosage relationships of various forms of chemicals in the water under the guise that it's killing Cryptosporidium or Giardia, liver flukes and that sort of thing, and viruses, when it was known at the time that it wouldn't come up to 50% lethal dose. So the whole thing came down to the fact, well, whoever reports a rash, then we'll change the dosage. And that's what is the shorthand version of what's happened. You're totally correct. And you take what you're saying and just transfer this, let's say, to New York. Now, our show hits in New York, and there were people there that were shocked to determine that there were forms of disinfectant byproducts that our kidneys were attempting to change in a real world form, and it was a shock to the United States of America to find out, well, if you have an immune response in your kidney and your liver, you can't drink the tap water. And the whole thing came down to the fact that it is New York itself as a city is documented consumes on the average 114 upstate communities unfiltered, pumped through aging pipes, treated only with chlorine. You realize, and what you're saying, they add the fluorine like a toxin along the way.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's in Yorktown Heights. They pump 1.5 million gallons of treated effluent in the Muscat River. And this goes down the New York water system every day. And the whole thing comes down to the fact that indiscriminately fluoride's added. Like if you and I were to take a syringe, you and I know that you have to measure in the syringe an accurate cc, the cubic centimeter concept. You have to be accurate. You can't have an air bubble. You can't in the syringe. You can't have a miscalculation of your volume in the syringe. And the whole thing comes down to the fact you have the old-time fluoride and chloramine mask suits that people have to wear in these water districts in terms of, and just have indiscriminate adding in dosage form.
Yep.
What's going on? And on top of that, and I've talked about this on many shows about foreign governments under eminent domain laws, which are passed by local communities to have the foreign governments come in and buy the water district and buy the water because the little town needs the money. And meanwhile, they're not covered, Professor, on these rules on what the FDA and the EPA and the CDC are supposed to promulgate.
Well, in my view, you know, I mean, I think you have a point that how good is the control of concentration of the fluoride in the water. How good is that? But the second issue is much more striking than that, is that you can, to a certain extent, control the concentration of fluoride in the water. What you cannot control, and we've already talked about this, you can't control the dose. because you can't control how much water people drink. And
that's
there are some
right.
people that drink a huge amount of water.
More
and
than
that's
5 liters.
Yeah.
According to the government, they say, well, most people drink 5 liters of water a day. A liter is 1,000 cc.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Most people are going to, that's the average amount based upon the 0.004 parts per million. That's greater than 4 milligrams for each
yeah.
liter.
I'm not sure that 5 is the average. I think the average is probably.
That's
I know the
government
Institute
rule.
Of Medicine. An Institute of Medicine advises people to drink 3 liters of
yeah,
water.
Yeah, but that's the government's rule, Professor. That's what they're putting out there.
Yeah.
That's last week under the FDA second tier stage 2 situation where they went out in the panel and said, well, we're going to have new legal court rules in toxic tort cases for dietary supplements. And therefore, now dietary supplements, they want to phase out by the year 2010. Yeah. And so what happens is you have toxic court cases from this. And because in my position was the fact, well, if they drink the dietary supplements with tap water, they're getting the fluoride, they're getting the chloramines, they're getting the disinfectant byproducts, and they totally ignored bromoacetic acid, they totally ignored idoacetic acid, haloacetic acid, and guess what was eliminated? Hydrogen fluoride. That was not, no problem. The public can take hydrogen fluoride and tap water with their dietary supplements. Terrific. Terrific.
Well, I'd like to come back, if I may, to let's keep this simple for the listeners here. There are obviously a lot of issues, and it's very easy to overwhelm people with all the issues. I mean, fluoride can cause a multitude of health effects because it works at such a basic biochemical level. What we need desperately right now in this country is congressional oversight. We need congressional hearings. The CDC has run amok on this practice. They are just gung-ho to fluoridate every last remaining community in this country. They send their personnel to state legislators to support mandatory fluoridation. Right now they're trying to introduce mandatory fluoridation in Pennsylvania. The mm-hmm. citizens have just defeated a proposal to introduce mandatory fluoridation in Oregon,
That's
but they
right.
keep coming back. They're doing the same in Arkansas. They tried to do it in New Jersey and in Massachusetts. So we need congressional hearings. We need to get the people in government who say this is the best thing since sliced bread to come under oath and be cross-examined under oath as to why they think this is safe, why they think this is effective. I believe if that happens, this practice is dead. At least let's kill this one practice, unnecessary practice, of putting fluoride in the water when you know it works topically.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to that point, we need thousands. At the moment, we've only got hundreds. We need thousands of people sending messages to Congress. It's as easy as going to our webpage and clicking on a button.
Mm-hmm.
And the webpage is fluorideaction.net spelt. And the spelling is important because if you spell it wrong, you get to a different webpage. Fluoride, FLUORIDE. And Dr. Parker, since this program started, we've had four people sign that online petition. I think you've got many more than four people listening to this radio program. So obviously, we're not being very convincing at this point that citizens can do something, but they can. The petition says we support the over 600 professionals who are calling for an end to fluoridation, and we want a congressional hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So all they have to do.
The way it works is that the audience listens and
yes.
they don't jump immediately to the whole thing. After all, you got to the thing is, but there's another aspect of it. The audience is very sophisticated. When you see at the other end of the line the kind of emails I get from the audience, you would be very impressed with the United States of America's population. These folks are pretty sharp. And the thing is that what you got to do, there's another aspect of this thing. You see, the whole process, when I first went out the door with this, talking about disinfecting byproducts in water and its effect medically, the public didn't know about it. They didn't know about it. And And this is why the show is most important. You'd be surprised the anger with the fluoride advocates. We're going to come back at the other end of the break, and we're going to talk about that.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
This is Parker Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker, August 19, 2007. This is a live show. And we have Professor Paul Conant, a anti-fluoride activist. Whole process, we had a caller who wanted to discuss the interaction of MSG and aspartame with fluoride. I'm willing to answer that, but Professor, are you willing to answer that?
No, I don't have any. I think there's going to be a lot of synergistic effects, especially when toxic substances interact with the same tissue. The synergistic effect, which I'm most worried about, is the interaction between fluoride and aluminium, or aluminum, as you say in this country. There's a rat experiment done with rats, and the rats were fed one part per million fluoride in their drinking water. That's exactly the same as we have in for the human population.
That's an Alzheimer's study.
Yeah, and that's right. And what they found is that with these animals treated in this way, at the very low doses, that it increased the uptake of aluminium into the brain, that there was vascular damage to the brain, and beta amyloid deposits, which are characteristic of Alzheimer's disease. Now, this was created in rats at one part per million. And again, the government has hardly blinked at that. I mean, that
I think that study was done, and there was a study in 1992, I believe, because I remember reading it. It is in, I don't remember the month, but it was in 1992.
Well, let me tell you some more about that. The lead author of this study, of these studies, is a gentleman called Robert Isaacson, and he teaches at the distinguished professor at the University of Binghamton in New York. And he published, I think he's published now three papers on this. The last one was in 1998 in Brain Research, which is a leading journal. The first author listed is Varner et al. And Robert Isaacson was also on this National Research Council panel that reviewed fluoride's toxicity. And they spent 3.5 years doing that. I was the only scientific expert opposed to fluoridation that testified in person before them.
Yes, and I wanted to get into that. I felt that your testimony was they received you well.
Well, they see me very well. I mean, I was really, it was probably the best day in 11 years, was actually presenting the best scientific information I could to a panel that I felt that could make the difference. And I was given 45 minutes to do this, and I spoke immediately after William Maas, who's head of the Oral Health Division of the Center of Disease Control, and amongst other things, incredibly boring speaker. So they were all practically half asleep before I came on, and I certainly woke them up. But the more important thing is that when you read that report, that 507-page report from this first truly balanced panel in the history of fluoridation in this country, the first truly balanced panel, both pro and anti-fluoride people on it and people that are nowhere, you know, neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And they vindicated. They vindicated nearly all the stuff I was talking about around the world. I talked about it in Australia, New Zealand, in Israel, in Ireland, in England, in Canada, throughout the United States. I've talked about the dangers of fluoridation. They talked about that there was a whole chapter on the brain, and that was edited by Bob Isaacson. There was a whole chapter on endocrine disruption. They talked about the pineal gland and the thyroid gland, and I should say much more. There was a whole chapter on the bone. All of these things I presented to the panel. So they not only took up what I said, but they added much more to it. 1,000 references mm-hmm. to the scientific literature, and on the same day that that was released, the American Dental Association said this has no relevance to water fluoridation, and Six days later, the Center of Disease Control came back and said, this is consistent with our policy of promoting fluoridation at one part per million. Again, trying to muddy the waters for the average person of saying the NRC said 4 parts per million is not protective, and the CDC was saying, oh, well, we don't fluoridate at 4 parts per million. We fluoridate at 1 part per million, so that's okay. Completely forgetting, deliberately forgetting the fact that you can't control how much water people drink, and some people drink a hell of a lot of water. Don't forget, people, if you're listening, please sign the online message system to Congress petition, which is calling for the U.S. Congress to have congressional hearings on this, supporting the 600 professionals, including a Nobel Prize winner, 3 authors of that National Research Council report, hundreds of dentists, hundreds of doctors, hundreds of PhDs, many people working in water departments. It's now up to the public to say, we want an end to fluoridation. You can do that by going to our webpage, fluorideaction.net. Make sure you spell fluoride, F-L-U. Mm-hmm. Think of flu, FLUORIDE, action.net.
I can't thank you enough for reminding the audience on the correct spelling. I frankly would not have thought of that, but I'm glad you did.
It happens all the time. I mean, I have seen so many journalists write articles about fluoride, and throughout they spell it FLOU.
Yeah. There's more to the issue than signing this petition, too, that I want to bring up. But the thing is, here's the thing about what you're talking about in your time of testimony. What amazes me is that there was a discussion in there about dementia.
Yes.
And and this is a big problem in America today with their parents. We'll come back on the other end of the break, and we're going to talk about this ethic panels.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Pathways, Dr. Gwen Parker, August 19th, 2007. This is a live show, and we have Professor Paul Conaday, anti-fluoride activist. And one of the things that I wanted to bring out about the concept of the FDA guidelines for research into new medicines, last week they changed to keep Avandia, a very powerful drug on the market, even though it has enormous side effects. This is one of the drugs that's also used on the fluorosilic acids. And the whole process, despite the European medical regulators giving the warnings of the drug on a global basis. And, of course, the specific meeting last week on closed peer review. And, of course, some of these results get out only because I'm one of the people who see those reviews. But the FDA approved Prozac, again, to treat premenstrual dysphoric disorders. And one of the weaknesses in this whole FDA system that is up there now is that there needs to be a, in my opinion, and this is what I'm promoting, is a revision of research guidelines to uncover really negative effects of all these existing systems of monitoring a drug after it's licensed for use. And, of course, we're going to get into that in a couple shows from now on the licensing situation. And the other thing, too, is Professor Conant has brought out, used an example, which was used in the Martin law case about the glass of water and saying, well, would you drink this, the doctor would say to you, and that type of thing. Well, that was used in the courtroom in the Martin case, but it's also used in the process of where we went to senators and House of Representatives people, you notice they all have bottled water. And, of course, I add the other factor, what I've been talking about on many shows, on reusable water that goes to the city system and the university systems, and the government is promoting reusable water similar to fluoride. And what reusable water being blended into the drinking water is absolutely being denied by the United States government, yet they have all of the infrastructure systems in place for the use of the reusable water under the guise that we're saving water use. In terms of that, I have shown 75 major cancer-causing diseases in humans from reusable water that were done in the same year that the fluoride was researched. And I find that kind of correlation. It might be synchronicity, it might be other aspects of things, then it may not. We have a caller, John from Tennessee. Is John on from Tennessee?
I am.
Hello, John.
Hello, doctor. Thank you. I'm sorry.
What's your question for Professor Conant?
Well, Professor Conant, I've talked to Dr. Parker before about some concerns I've had with water, with fluoridation, with other things that are in the water. My question to you, actually there's two. How much is a heck of a lot of water, because I do drink a lot? And the other is, do you think there's any connection to a eugenics movement to basically take care of people that are unnecessary in their eyes?
Okay, we'll have Professor Conant address with his education in mind on this.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I'll take the second one first. I do not believe such a sinister plot motivates, certainly doesn't motivate your average doctor and dentist, and I doubt very much that it motivated the people at the beginning of this whole experiment. I urge you to read the fluoride deception. There's enough in there between the underlying between the industry and government on the pollution aspect and the liability aspect to take care of a good solid 99% of the reason why this happened. And the first part of your question was. What was the first part of the question?
How much
water is
yeah.
Oh,
much?
Good, yeah. Well, I think if you're drinking over 5 liters of water a day, then you're going to face problems, I would say, at least with your bones, because 50% of all the fluoride that you ingest, not only from water, but from pesticide residues in food, food and beverages processed in fluoridated communities, from dental products and so on, you're ingesting enough fluoride to damage your bones. The first symptoms of fluoride bone damage is just like arthritis, and as it goes on, as it accumulates more and more, you make the bones more brittle, and then the huge concern here is hip fractures in the elderly, which is a very serious condition indeed. 50% of the elderly who have a hip fracture are never regain independent existence, and one quarter of them at least are dead within a year. So this is very, very serious stuff indeed, just on the bones. And, you know, it's not as if we're talking hypothesis here. There are literally millions of people in the world that have had their bones wrecked by natural fluoride. In China, in India, in parts of Africa, there is a condition called skeletal fluorosis, and there is no argument about this. People are have their lives and their bones wrecked by fluoride, and the more water you drink in a fluoridated community, the closer you're going to get, at least to the first symptoms. I don't think you're going to get to the crippling phase, although some people have done that by drinking lots and lots of instant tea. But unfortunately, the first symptoms are not diagnosed by doctors. They have no idea about this because at dental school and med school, people are told only one thing about fluoridation. It's the best thing since sliced bread. They are not trained to even think about fluoride when they have a patient come before them with rashes, with stomach complaints, irritable bowel syndrome, arthritis, hypothyroidism. They're not trained to think of fluoride. So what happens now is that, and we know this from cases, from case studies, where people go to their doctors, the doctor doesn't know what's causing some of these symptoms, they get medications, the medications in turn have side effects, and they start to suffer from those side effects, and it's only when someone says, have you stopped drinking the fluoridated water, do all of a sudden do their rashes and their headaches and their everything else magically clear up. Mm-hmm. That's the only way they find out about it.
Can I
That's
ask
been
one
documented,
more, one more question?
Well, we really appreciate your calling, John.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay, we're very short on time. Go ahead.
All right. Dr. Parker, you may remember that I went to the Vanderbilt University with a rash to a dermatologist. So if I were to ask the professor, what would you do to counteract a rash that apparently a doctor has no idea if it's caused by fluoride, what would you do to alleviate it?
You'd stop having showers or bathing or drinking or cooking with the water. And I met a patient in Florida who had very large color photographs of these huge red blotches that she came out with. And she went to six different doctors to try to deal with these rashes, these big red blotches which she broke out in. And nothing happened, nothing worked, until finally she stopped showering in her water. And that's when she discovered that it was the fluoridated water that was causing these huge blotches on her baby. And that's not an isolated instance. There are many other examples of that.
Now, by the way, John, I really appreciate your call, and we've got a couple of things that we need to cover with Paul Connett, and you have yourself a good day. One of the things that I want to mention, you mentioned, Professor, about fluoride. You know, in Florida, one of the things that is appalling, you want to know about the, you know, public exposure of things, is in Florida, there are all those uranium and fluoride projects that are still going on.
Yeah. Let's make this very clear. And I have flown over these sites in a rented plane, and I visited the sites on foot. In Florida, largely in Polk County, they have surface mining of this phosphate rock.
Mm-hmm.
That same phosphate rock that they mine to make fertilizer, they have also mined to extract uranium.
That's right.
And the stuff that we put in the drinking water, unbeknownst to many people, is not pharmaceutical grade. It's not the kind of quality fluoride that they put in dental products, in toothpaste. It is the scrubbing liquor. Scrubbing liquor of the phosphate industry. For about 100 years, they released these toxic gases when they made this phosphoric acid,
mm-hmm.
hydrogen fluoride and silicon tetrafluoride. These went into the air, they fell on the ground, they destroyed the citrus crops, they crippled the cattle. Eventually, after 100 years, they were finally forced to put wet scrubbers on, which is a spray of water. And that captures these gases, and it makes it into a product called hexafluorosilicic acid. And it's that scrubbing liquor, which contains all kinds of contaminants, including arsenic and lead and cadmium and so on, and some radioactive isotopes,
albeit
in trace amounts. This stuff, which you cannot dump into the sea by international law, it's too concentrated to dump it locally, is put into tanker trucks and sent around the country untreated, and they rely on one thing and one thing only. The answer to pollution is dilution. They have to add 180,000 gallons of our clean drinking water to each gallon of their scrubbing liquor. That brings it down to one part per million. So here you have the irony of ironies. Not only are they using the public water supply to deliver medicine, which is a real no-no in my book,
mm-hmm.
but they're also using the public water supply to get rid of hazardous waste. And that's what they're doing. And there's no two ways about it. This is hazardous waste. If the companies were required to treat that as other companies have to treat hazardous waste, it would cost them a fortune. But instead, we, like dummies, allow them to put that hazardous waste into our drinking water. I'm sure there's some people listening to me who think I'm making this up.
No, it's not made up. I've talked about this before, and I've gone to the mat with it, and this is why I want that constitutional amendment that we have a right to vote what goes in our food and water and medical protocols and the grand jury system of science and technology, because what's happening here is exactly as you're describing. No, it is not made up. That's why your work is so important, and you can count on it. If it takes every show I have and every show I have left, and I increase my audience even further than I have, it's the audience who comes aboard. I'm supporting you every inch of the way. I'm making you my project, and the thing is the thing, because you're one of the living people that's had the guts to go in front of those committees and meet Varner and meet Isaacson and do those things and go and mention the pineal gland, the melatonins, which are also involved in this. You have to. You see, we live in a world. I had a show one time about how we've lost our guts in this country, and we don't have leaders as we did before because they didn't. In my opinion, they weren't educated in philosophy and character. They didn't read well. The professors were dynamite human beings, and they taught people character. And this is why I feel it is absolutely shameful that somebody can be at the CDC or the National Institute of Health or the National Institute of Mental Health and know that the dementia neurotoxicity studies have a precursor of chemicals that we're drinking and may be one of the cause-effect relationships, and ignore it. I mean, just so that they can have contract and grant money that's supported by corporations who sign off on it. So it's unethical, Professor.
Yes, let me share with you, if I may, a little anecdotal story. I remember walking across the university campus a few years ago, and I bumped into a friend, a teacher in the Spanish department of all places, and he said to me, you know, typically, how are you, Paul? And you know how you normally say, oh, fine,
yeah,
Steve,
right.
How are you? And off you go. And I said, actually,
right.
Steve, I'm feeling really awful. And he said, what do you mean you're feeling awful? I said, well, I don't want to teach chemistry anymore. And he looked at me and said, you don't want to teach chemistry? What's happened? I said, look, I've spent my whole life teaching students that science is about truth, and chemistry is a science, and that's about truth, and you're supposed to get the facts, and you're supposed to develop them, rational hypotheses, and all those gorgeous things that we teach our students about the scientific method. I said, I'm doing that, and I've been doing it for so many years now, and yet I know that when those students leave this campus and they go into the real world, that science is going to be torn up in front of their face. And it's going to be torn up not only by industry and people that mm-hmm. prostitute themselves, consultants who tell them that black is white, that dioxin is safe enough to put on their cornflakes, etc., etc., etc. But it's also going to be corrupted by their own government, by the agencies that we pay good money for to protect us, by the EPA, by the FDA, by the CDC. These
civil servants who should be working for us are working for the other side, and it's not acceptable.
I include the Surgeon General in that list.
I expect he's just like Michael Jordan. You wind him up, you shove him out, and he says whatever the bureaucrats tell him to say. You know, what's sad about this is we expect now, unfortunately and sadly, that every politician, when he opens his mouth, lies through his teeth. It's almost a standard that politicians lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't expect civil servants to lie. Those civil servants are working for us, and we expect them to give objective analysis to the decision maker. And it's then the trouble starts when the decision maker takes the scientific truth and then massages it to their political agenda. But at least we should get the first step right. And sadly today, we're not getting that first step right at the National Institute of Health, who consult on the quiet for industry, at the FDA, at the EPA. I mean, I've had so many problems with the EPA giving the go-ahead to use sulfural fluoride, another fumigant on foodstuffs, which will leave all kinds of fluoride residues. I won't go into that.
That's right. That happens to be one of the mediums is the reusable water, which is in the irrigation system for our food. And some of the food, you can take a Geiger counter and pass it over the spinach or the radishes, or and particularly who absorb it greatly, and the Geiger counter goes off.
Well, I think the key thing is this. Look, without truth, there's no science. And if science is not informing public health policy, if we drive a wedge between the best science that's available to us and public policy, this country is in serious, serious danger. We need a rock on which to reestablish the trust of the public in the agencies which are there to protect our health. And one way the Center of Disease Control can do this is to listen to those ethics charges which have been presented to the panel. Another way is to get the U.S. Congress, to get the people that are promoting fluoridation to testify under oath. I'm absolutely convinced that the moment they are required to produce the science which they say supports their program, the whole practice will collapse because they don't have the science. And the way that citizens can help us get both of those things, ethics, a review at the CDC, and a U.S. Congress hearing on fluoridation, is to sign that online message petition on our website at fluorideaction.net, fluoride, F-L-U. Remember, flu, fluorideaction.net. Since this program has been on air, we have now 10 more signatures on that, but we need many, many more.
See, each one is, you got to keep in mind when they do statistics on radio talk shows. So you're talking about the way those are statistics. Every person you see hitting that button that's doing that represents at least 1,000 people.
Yes.
So the thing there's another thing I want to put out here in terms of this. On that CDC ethics panel, on the last 5 minutes of the show is coming up, the word elected to omit, chosen to ignore, demonstrated a severe ethical lapse, justified fluoridation in terms of misleading, misled public. Those are the key words in that CDC ethics panel proclamation. We're going to come back at the other end of the last 5 minutes and have Professor Conant.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus,
What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Parker Pathways, and we have in the last 5 minutes of our Parker Pathway show, Professor Paul Conant. And I wanted to make a couple comments here before we give the professor the last word. There have been some changes out in biomarkers by a company called Biosystems. They're doing some very good work focusing on colon cancer and breast cancer and its relationship to neurotoxicity. The company Biotrend has developed a new rat AKI test. This AKI marker is used for identifying a drug toxicity that's interfered with by chemicals that are in the body. And, of course, there's a company called DACO, which uses the biomarkers to determine the patient's response to a specific treatment. This is very advanced work. And there's a company called AstraZeneca, Z-E-N-E-C-A, who's doing the immunochemistry studies on inflammation disorders, which I consider immunochemistry, of course, as my listeners know, has always been my forte of legal and medical and political change. And all of these are affected by these elements that we're drinking and eating. Now, Professor, you have the last 5 minutes, and all I can say is God bless you, and I'm going to support you in every way possible. I'm going to the mat for you. I'm putting you in my constitutional amendment argument and the grand jury science and technology, the CDC ethical panel concept, and, of course, your petition. And I'll probably be testifying back there one way or another on the contaminants, but you can count on it that I'm going to be your champion. You have the last 5 minutes.
Okay, Dr. Parker, thank you. Thank you for having me on this program, and thank you for this wonderful support. It's interesting that you mentioned biomarkers and the wonderful technological advances which make some of these biomarkers possible. It's ironic that in the fluoride issue, we've had a biomarker that they've known about since 1931, that fluoride causes dental fluorosis, that the severity of dental fluorosis is a reflection of how much fluoride the kid was exposed to before their permanent teeth have erupted. And that was a biomarker on a plate for any epidemiological study on children.
Yeah.
And it's never been used in the United States.
Well, I'd like to have you back on another show. We're going to talk about this and take care of this. And this is the end of our show for Parker Pathways. And I again thank Professor Paul Conant to... Uh,